Okay, so I did look at the new version of, well, I haven't had a chance to read it completely, but I saw that you have a new version. Right, so is it simpler than simplified, more simplified than before? Okay. 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 Now, should we? I think the first part, which is examining all possible extension stacks, right? I think that pretty much stays the same. Well, there were some minor changes there, I think. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and so I see here that you haven't initialized the meta extension output. So I see the meta extension apply extension stacking rules. I think would are you expecting that to initialize the meta extension dot output? I know, but after in the for loop. Yeah, I think we have to maybe formalize the notion of an objective here. At least for algorithm two, because it's not clear what's happening in the for loop, the first for loop. I understand the input, how the input for the meta extension is being assigned. to some extent.
Let me just to clarify, let me get that small line to depict what the input will look like. So the input is, will be essentially, the output will be,
are you talking about the meta extension inside the for loop?
I'll probably write this up after a meeting because it's a little tricky to write about, to reason about the output.
From what I understand, the output is going to be a consequence of applying the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some extension might redirect requests to a different domain, and therefore the output domain could be different than the input domain.
Exactly.
So the stacking rules, if you look at the stacking rules, then what the stacking rules tell us, The stacking rules tell us which extension dominates for which domain. But I don't know if it's clear whether the entire output domain is specified or the combination of these two extensions. We have, for each extension, we have an output domain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not clear, given those two output domains, how to compute the output domain for the meta extension.
Yeah, it's not clear because it depends on how the rules are applied, that's true.
Okay, so that's one issue that that you would need to think in more depth about, I guess. Okay, let's say that it's sorted out somehow, that we are able to assign the output domain for the meta extension, and we also need some notion of what we mean, what is the type of objective, because the objective is not a simple unary, or it's not a single dimension. It's a multiple dimension, right? One objective met for each volume, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
So that's
exactly.
So the formalizing the objective would be important for this algorithm to be complete.
Okay.
So that's the second feedback I have. Another higher level feedback is, you know, in these algorithms, if we can have first, before the input and output, say a high level description of what the algorithm does, I think that would be useful as well.
Okay.
Before the input line, if you have, let's say, a description.
Okay.
And maybe a couple of sentences, or even one sentence if you can, of what the algorithm actually does. Or maybe after the output. So once you have the input and output specified, then maybe it'll be easier to formalize the description or goal of, I don't know what to call it, but some description of what the algorithm accomplishes.
So can we have that rather be part of the actual text? Not the algorithm, but the actual text.
We could do that as well.
We reference the algorithm.
Yeah, we could do that as well. I think that it is useful to have it maybe in the caption.
Okay, yeah,
because
the caption, that's a good point. The caption makes sense.
Because if otherwise, if someone is just looking at the algorithm, they would have to go searching for the description. And I am assuming that the description will be a little, in the text would be a little bit more elaborate. And maybe more, although more elaborate, it is going to be more high level than the specifics of the algorithm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
In the second algorithm, where you there is a comment which says each goal is a list goals, is a tuple of the form domain goal. I think
okay,
there something needs to change there.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking for earlier, but I couldn't find it. I simply didn't look at the comments yet.
Right. No, that should be an easy fix, I think. I think here you mean each objective, right? Is a list?
Each objective.
Each objective is a list of tuples of the form domain goal, right? Something like that. You can grammatically sound.
No, each objective is a tuple.
But wouldn't the objective be multidimensional? So for multiple domains, you have a one goal per domain?
Yeah, you're right. It's a list. Yeah.
So, going to algorithm one, I didn't quite understand what next available actually means. I know you explained it, but I couldn't quite understand it.
Okay, yeah. Probably I'll add a bit more about this in the text. So, the idea is that so the algorithm as it stands is going to essentially fix an extension in a particular position in the stack. And then with the remaining extensions, it's going to permutate, find all possible permutations of that extension in the those remaining extensions in the remaining piece of the stack. And then it's going to backtrack. It's going to move that extension that I had originally fixed to the next position of the stack. And it's going to, again, calculate all possible permutations. So essentially what we're going to do is that saying, okay, So for the first extension, next available is essentially going to do, it's going to put it in the first position, right?
Sorry, I think I lost you there.
Okay, let me start from the beginning. So the idea behind next available is that it's going to look through, given the array, look through which positions of the array are empty. And with the other parameter that you give it, it's going to give you the index of the if that's empty.
Yeah.
That's all it does.
It gives you the index of
the index in the array of the if position that's empty.
Index in which array?
In the array that is the first parameter, which in this case would be the stack.
Okay, so it would give you the index in stack which is empty.
The IS index which is empty.
Okay, so the IS index is empty.
No. So it will look through the array
mm-hmm.
and see how. So if you give it, let's say, if you give it 0, then it will look through the array and it will give you the first empty position in the array, the first empty index in the array.
Okay, maybe it's because I don't understand what stack is. Stack is
it's an array.
It's an array of extensions?
Yes.
Okay, that's the stack we're trying to create, is it?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and we are creating the stack by populating every element of the stack of the array stack with an extension.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So the head. So I'm starting with the first line. Head is the first of the extensions that we are trying to stack.
Yes.
Correct. If there are more extensions, I would go into the else part.
Exactly.
And then I would do for I equals 0 to extensions dot length.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not popping any more extensions somehow.
No. Because what you're going to do is that you're going to it's a recursive function thing.
Okay. Okay, I see. So
you're
going to
take one extension and then calculate the other, build the stack from the rest recursively.
Shouldn't this for loop be for I equals 1 to extensions dot length? Because we already popped one. Right, but if you go into the okay, so what you're saying is that if you pop it, then you would go into the if part.
Exactly.
But the else part is why do you need a for loop there?
So the idea, like I said, so.
If you're doing a recursive call,
so the idea is to essentially build all the possible permutations of three extensions, right? Let's imagine we have three extensions.
Okay.
Right. So the way that I envision the algorithm is that let's say those are extensions A, B, and C.
Right.
Right. So the way to calculate all those possible permutations is that I do the following: I start with the complete list, and I say, okay, let me pop the first one, that's A, right? And then I say, okay, extensions left, so I have two extensions, which is greater than 0. And
mm-hmm.
then, so I go to the else case.
Yeah.
So the else I'm doing for from 0 to left, which is 2, right? So,
okay. Okay, so I think that needs to go into the initialization.
Yeah, that needs to go to some part here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that array is initially empty.
Okay.
And then, so the next available, I would say, give me the first available index because I is 0.
Okay.
Right, in the array. Okay, so it will return index 0.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put the head in index 0, and then I would call find extensions with the other parameter.
Okay. And stacks, stacks is also empty.
Yes.
Okay.
Stacks is also empty at that point, right? Okay. So let's assume, so if we go through the whole recursion, it, what it's going to do is that it's going to generate the set A, B, C.
Hmm.
Right? Essentially, because every time it's going to go and the next available index is always going to return the first position. Not the first position, the first empty position.
Yeah, so the challenge here is that extensions, because you're passing it as a parameter to find extension stacks.
Mm-hmm.
You're passing one, so the extensions that you pass to in the recursive call is going to be one less than what you had before, right?
Yes.
Because you popped,
exactly.
You popped one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see.
And then the idea behind the for loop is that I'm switching the position of that extension in the stack.
Okay. I see. Hmm. So you have intermediate stacks that get formed, partial stacks also get formed, right?
No.
Because if you recursively call file and extension stacks with fewer extensions, then those find extension stacks calls would return intermediate stacks.
No, because they will actually, so they'll be returning only when extensions is empty.
Hmm.
Right? That's the only point where I evaluate about it. Because I know that at that point I have my whole stack is full with extensions, and I know that I have to see if which of them meet the goals.
Hmm. Otherwise, all the other return stacks are just intermediate.
Are just unions. Yes.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, probably I have to just create a write-up explaining what the algorithms are doing.
But, yeah. So the for loop is, you said, to change the position of the extension in the stack, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you change the position of the extension in the stack, then you have other extensions both above and below this extension.
Exactly. Yes.
And you have to stack both. You have to create two stacks instead of just one stack on one of the sides of the extension. So this extension is sitting in between.
Yes.
So where do you do that?
No. So that's exactly what I'm trying to avoid by moving the extension within the stack. That's what next available is supposed to do. Right. So instead of having two stacks, one below and one above, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to have a fixed stack, which I know its size, and then I'm going to change the position classes that are before, sorry, that are above and below this extension.
Okay, so let's take the example of well, even the three extensions is probably okay. Let's say that A, B, and C, right? So initially, I can see how this would work with A stacked on top, and then you stack B and C using the recursive call.
Exactly.
Now, when does A get to go in middle? In this, let's say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the final point of the recursion is when extension is on the extension C, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that will return the result of that means call.
No, what I'm saying is that you're considering various extension various stack ordering. So the one ordering is A, B, C.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is that so the first time the algorithm actually starts returning is when I have built the A, B, C ordering, and then I evaluate it with the stacks meet goals.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So once I've done that, what I'm going to do is that, so C is going to return. That is going to return, and it's going to return to a place where I have set stacks to where a stack is A, B,
mm-hmm.
and then C is empty.
C is empty?
Yeah, because that's going to be the place where I have the union of stacks and find extensions. Just before I did the recursive call.
Okay. You mean
right?
You mean stacks is A B and
A B exactly.
And find extension stacks returns C.
No, it returns the result of stack meets goal.
Okay.
Right.
Extensions. Extensions is C here, isn't it? The find extensions would be C because you already popped A and B.
No, but I'm assuming that I'm giving it a copy of the array, right? So it's an input parameter. It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not modified.
Oh, so pop doesn't change extensions.
I mean, yeah, it changes extensions, but only within that function. It doesn't change it for the outside, for the caller.
And
it changes within the callee, but not within the caller.
But there is a recursive call because the callee also makes its own call.
I have to be a little bit more clear, but the idea is that probably I'll just rephrase it to make it more clear, because my idea is that so inside this function, whatever gets modified, it's only gonna live. So that modification is only going to be active while the let's call it that function frame is active.
Okay. Yeah, I don't quite understand it, because you're saying that extensions.pop has modifies extensions. But then when you pass it as a parameter to a recursive call, somehow you get back the original version?
No, so the idea is that, modifications that I made mm-hmm. are to variables that live within that function, right?
Yes.
So initially, for the first case, where I have, where the extension is ABC,
mm-hmm.
and I pop A,
mm-hmm.
I have the list B and C.
And extensions is now B and C.
Extensions is now B and C, right?
Okay.
That will eventually call find extension stacks.
Correct.
Right? Within the next call of find extension stacks, I will have a new extension variables, which lives for that call.
Yeah.
For that call, it is initially B and A and C.
Yes.
Right? So within that call, I pump B.
Right.
Right? And at that point, that extension is B and C. Sorry, it's C only.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying earlier. Extensions
yes.
is C when you...
Yeah, exactly. But at that point, the extensions of the person who called that... Of the function who called that one is still B and C.
Sure.
Right? So that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean the previous... the caller of the current function which actually made the recursive call.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's look at the current function where our extensions is B and C.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which was called by another function where extensions was A, B, and C. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then within the function that where extensions B and C, you invoke the recursive call find extension stacks. Where you pass extensions. Now extensions is just C because in the frame of B and C you already did a pop. You just left with C. So find extension stacks C, comma stack. Okay, so stack here is what is stack here? So stack is global in some sense.
No. It's also the same thing as extension. It's an internal variable which lives only in that frame.
Okay. So when you say next available stack, now what is already in the stack at the point you call find extension stacks on C, on just C, what's already in the stack at that point?
Okay. So it's what I had originally received, right, from the input, and then the modification that I'm doing within the for loop.
Okay, what did you receive? What was in the stack when we got to the point of B and C as extensions?
So at that point, we had A in the first position of the stack.
Okay. Now in this, in the frame of where B and extensions equals B and C,
mm-hmm.
then you pop B,
mm-hmm.
and then you say I equals 0 to extensions dot length,
exactly.
0
yeah.
to 1, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
J is next available of stack comma 0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does stack comma 0 return now?
So it will look in that array
mm-hmm.
and it will return the so 0 would mean the first index which is null in the array.
Okay,
right,
I see.
Right, so stack originally had just A, which because that's what I received as input.
Mm-hmm.
So it had A at the 0 position and then index 1 and 2 are null.
Okay.
Right? So the first index that I find that is null is index 1.
Correct. Okay.
And I put it there.
Okay, and then in that you put B.
Because
head is B.
Exactly.
Okay. So now you have stack of 0 populated, stack of 1 populated. And you, in the next statement, you call find extension stacks with extensions which contains only C. Stack which contains A and B in position 0 and 1.
And then and 2 is null.
And 2 is null. Okay, and now in this case, you will go into the top if block. The
exactly.
If block, right? And J will now be 2. Next available of stack comma 0 is 2. And stack of 2 is C.
Exactly.
And then you do stack meets goals. Okay. So this is the case where we have a stack of A, B, and C.
Right. So after that, yes, after that, I return.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Okay. So I return to the frame where extensions is just C. And
you return to the frame where extensions is B and C. Oh, sorry, extensions is just C, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Extensions is just C. And and my index is 1, right? So now, sorry, not 1, it's still 0.
So here, the return type for find extension stacks is, what is the return type of that? A set of arrays. So stack meet goals also returns a set of arrays?
No. That returns a single array. Yeah, I have to encapsulate that within an array, that's true, within a set.
Okay. Okay, and does this algorithm also tell us what goals are being met, or it's just a binary decision?
Yes. So that's actually the algorithm that we have below. Now that I remember, yeah. So that's just the algorithm that we have below. So it does return. So it returns some meta extension or empty.
Okay, so that somehow needs to propagate to algorithm 1, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because the algorithm 1 just expects a list of stacks that meet the goals.
Yeah, so I'll encapsulate that extension.
Okay.
So
now what you have is adding ABC. Let's assume that ABC meets the goals. ABC is one element of stacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reset stack of J to null.
Exactly.
Stack.
So now at this point, a stack is A in the first position,
mm-hmm.
and then position 1 and 2 are null.
Hmm. So here, which one is setting null here?
J is setting null the index 1. That's where B was.
J is 1. You're setting that to null. Shouldn't 2 also be set to null?
No, because that one, the one that had 2 set to C lived only while that frame was active.
Okay, I see. Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, in my next iteration, I will be equal to 1. Right? So I will find, so next available, we'll say next available in the stack, which just has a index 0 set, get me index 1, which would be, which will be equivalent to the second index.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that would be, so now J will be 2.
Shouldn't J be 1? Because you just set stack of J equals 1 to null?
No, because now, I'm saying that. So that's what I'm doing with next available. So next, so I'm saying, not don't give me the first one, but give me the second one available. That is known.
Okay.
Because before I said give me next available in the stack of index 0. So now I'm saying give me the next available in the stack with index 1.
Okay.
Right. So in this point, so that will equate to J being 2.
Okay.
So now in stack will effectively be in the 0 position I will have A, in the index 1 I will have no, and in the index 2 I will have B.
Okay.
And then I call again find extensions in stack.
But how are you going to how are you going to apply? Okay, so now you have a gap in the array, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying now your find extension stacks extensions is still C, right?
Yes.
And when you go into the recursive call, C will go and sit in position 1.
Give me the next available in stack with index 0.
Hmm.
So I will say, okay, that essentially means that give me the first node position.
Okay, that's interesting. So,
Okay, now I understand. I think I'm beginning to understand what's going on here. This is difficult to understand without explanation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but it's probably the easiest way to find all permutations.
Is this any specific method that you're using, or just you came up with your own?
Yeah, well, I basically came up with my own, but there is one non-recursive function, but that's way more complicated. There is a Dijkstra algorithm to do this. But that's significantly more complicated because you essentially have to mimic a stack. You have to mimic a stack in the computing term.
I see.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That essentially what the other one was doing is taking one element, fixing it in one position, and permutating the rest. And then moving that element to the next position in the stack, and again, calculating all possible permutations and so on, until that element reaches the all possible positions in the stack.
Mm-hmm. And I assume you've checked this for arbitrarily large stacks.
Yes.
Not just with 3 extensions, right?
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, so I remember, so when I was in my first years of college, we had to do something like this in assembler, and it was really complicated.
In assembler?
Yeah.
Well, one thing which I was going to suggest here, I don't know, the thing is that here you're not just creating all the possible combinations, but you're also... applying the extension stacking rules and seeing if the stack meet goals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, well, maybe this is unavoidable. I was thinking whether you could have a separate routine which lists all the combinations and then run them through a simpler routine that checks if the stack meet goals for each of them. And I guess it's...
Oh, I see. Yeah, like have it offline.
Yeah, but I mean, now that I think about it, maybe it's... I don't know.
Well, yeah, the issue is, I mean, it might be simpler to read.
Hmm.
But, so, in terms of space required, that might require more space because you're essentially... generating all possible permutations, which is an exponential space, and then evaluating it. In this case, we're just evaluating as they go and assuming that only a few of them will meet them, then the space required will be significantly less.
That's true. Okay. All right, let's do it your way. Okay, so I guess, Jorge, the next steps are to clean up these two algorithms. I think we are pretty much close to final, but...
Yeah, I made a series of annotations here. I'll address them.
Okay. And we also need to come up with a brief one or two sentence description in the caption. And a longer, maybe more high-level, intuitive explanation of what's going on in these algorithms.
Sure. Yeah, let me add that. Okay. Yeah, so I have, I've written all those things down, so I'll address them for the next repeat.
Okay, great. If you can, you know, let's say if you finish prior to our meeting, please send me an email so I can actually review and try to understand it before our call. So I can only ask you, like, clarification questions.
Okay, yeah.
Otherwise, it will take a lot of your time.
Yeah.
Because you had to explain the whole thing to me.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I'll try to have it done by today.
You don't have to do it today. All I'm saying is that if you get it done prior to our meeting, maybe a day before our meeting, just send me an email so that I can review what you've done before our call.
Okay, yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So you don't have to spend so much time explaining it to me. Well, maybe you still have to explain, but at least I would have tried to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, and you have some background.
Yeah. And the update on my end is that, unfortunately, there is no update. I'm still not started with my addressing of the reviewer for comments.
Right. So
I'm anticipating Reviewer 4 is going to take me a lot of time. I just read through it a couple of weeks back, and there are lots and lots and lots of comments there. That guy was pretty busy with our paper, I think, for a while. Yep. So, all right. I think this time works for you next week?
Yeah, that works fine.
All right. I have it in my calendar.
Okay.
Okay. Talk to you later, Jorge.
Could you send me an invite from your calendar?
Let me have
it also in my calendar.
Let me
automatically.
Let me do it right now. Just give me a second. Okay. Should I send it to your VMware address?
Yes, please.
That's jdelgado@vmware.com, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. You should have received it. Or Gmail says that it sent it out.
Okay, I'll wait for it. Okay, yeah. But yeah, so that way we both have it.
What time zone? Yeah, okay. Yeah, time zone is fine. Okay. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, Jorge.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.